The world is going through a pandemic, and some churches are remaining steadfast through it. We're going to continue in our series talking about ways that churches can continue to be gospel-centered in their efforts. On this episode of Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, the one-minute apologist, I'm your host, Tim Hall. Well, Bobby, we kind of kicked this off last week, and we talked about several pieces in an article that churches are doing to kind of continue to be steadfast in this time of pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we want to just continue that. There was 12 of them. We did several of them last week. We're going to continue this conversation. It's such an important thing that we need to address.
Yes.
So let's just jump back in here. One of the ones that we didn't discuss last week that we're going to continue this week is that they're reevaluating their staff structure. Why is this important for churches that are, you know, remaining steadfast in this time?
Well, let's think about this. The culture that we are in right now is one that's faced with a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And the church doesn't get escape pass on this. Yeah. We are right there as well.
Right.
And as a result, our churches are looking different. Some of the programs, for example, that were running strong in churches before the pandemic hit are dying or don't exist any longer. And so what's happened in this pandemic, the opportunity has been like taking a car with an engine that needs some work into a mechanic shop, and you lift up the hood to see what needs some repair. Well, one of the things that's happened is the church has suffered tremendously in the budget department.
Yeah.
Not as many people are going to church. Not as many people are giving. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean for staff? It means that we have to restructure staff. Like, how are we going to do what we need to do in this pandemic?
Yeah.
And so it's crucial that churches are thinking about what can they realistically offer in this time. If they still try to offer all the same ministries and all the same programs, well, guess what? Some people aren't showing up for those ministries.
Right.
Some people aren't showing up for those programs, and people aren't giving the funds that are needed. So this presents a really hard role because it means that some people end up getting let go of positions. But I do think that there is an opportunity with the hood open to kind of say, let's think about what are our essential ministries. Mm. What ministries do we really need? How can we clean up our budget? How can we become more missional?
Yeah.
And so I think this is one of the good things that are happening. A lot of churches, I think that they would say, we were wasteful. We had all kinds of excess ministries that, and while these ministries were good, they blindsided us to the true mission of being missional in the way that we lived in outreach. And so I think that is something really crucial.
Yeah, I think one of the things that churches probably have focused on in the past year is their video and online production and probably social media stuff. So I could see a lot of churches, even if they kept their staff exactly the same, they might have added on some technical staff and they might have added on a
Absolutely.
Social media person or something like that because it has been a new way, a burgeoning way to get the gospel out. And so I can see churches doing that as well.
Good point, Tim.
Yeah. So another one I think that kind of goes along with that one is that their churches that are doing well are seeking to adopt and foster other churches. Now, I'll be honest, this is something new. I have never heard of a church fostering or adopting another church. Have you heard about that? And what might that look like?
I have heard about it through Tom Rainer. Mm-hmm. And this is his article we're assessing, but I've read him talking about this in other places. And so the idea of adopting or fostering another church is many churches are really suffering right now. And this is an opportunity for churches that are doing better, that are more healthy, that might have a greater budget, that might have some extra leverage of some team people, staff leaders, that they can send over and they can adopt a church. And so this is where if pastors are really networked to other pastors in their community and they're connected, they can have a spiritual pulse on, you know, which churches are doing really good and which ones are suffering. So imagine if there were people listening right now and they're aware of churches that are suffering and churches that aren't, but they're in close location. Imagine what it would look like to create roles in our cities and in our suburbs and our rural areas where you've got leaders that are helping churches to adopt other churches.
Yeah.
And we're coming up with ways to help people. And then what could a healthy church offer? Well, it could offer maybe some rest. Maybe you've got a pastor and some staff, they're absolutely burnt out. Yeah. So maybe they offer some sort of a Sabbath to a church team. And then maybe they offer just some consulting. Let's get your vision squared away again. Let's get you some, good processes in place. Let's help you to focus on what you're supposed to be about, what's your mission going to be. And then let's set kind of a date to relaunch you again with you know, a reinvigorated heart for what you're doing, a renewed passion with some rest and some reinforcement, and then a greater partnership in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I've seen a lot in the sense of adopting. I've seen a lot of churches, particularly in the technical spheres, when you do have a bigger church, they're asking, hey, we're a smaller church, we do need to stream online, or we want to do some sort of video ministry. Can you help us, big church? Maybe send over a technician for a weekend and just kind of train some of our people. So if that's what you mean, yeah, I can see some of those, you know, sharing of people resources. And financial resources and, you know, hey, you know, use our building if you need it or something like that. I guess one of the other things that might come with that is the natural disasters. We've seen Ida come through and ruin some churches and ruin some houses. And so I could see, you know, sharing facilities
absolutely
for a short period of time while a church gets a new roof or something like that. So yeah,
absolutely.
Interesting. So let's jump to this next one. The churches that are doing this well, they are giving focused attention to their groups and small group structure. So why are small groups so important to this whole endeavor?
They're crucial. I mean, when you get shut down in a pandemic, if you've built your church on your Sunday morning worship experience and you don't have groups, you're hosed.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just lost your church practically.
Yeah.
If you built your church on any program and this pandemic comes and shuts everything down, we've got a real problem on our hands. This is what's so important about small groups. We need to be a church that absolutely focuses on developing small group leaders, raising up small group, disciples to launch out and multiply more and more groups. I mean, when you think about like the church in China, the underground church, I mean, that's how they're doing it. And by underground, we just mean you can't be visible in some of these places. Yeah. You can't have buildings. You can't meet that way. So we should always structure ourselves that in a worst case scenario, if we ever have to go underground, well, we've got a healthy small group base that it can handle it. And then when the doors open back up for COVID, let's say, guess what? You can open back up, you know, above ground and you're okay. Why? Because everybody's just been meeting underground. And so groups are incredible. They're important for keeping your church intact. They're important for ministering to the needs, to sharing the load, to following up with people, to continue to disciple people, to doing evangelism. Groups are crucial.
I could say a lot more, but I think you've covered all of it. So we'll move on to number nine on this list here that says, these churches that are doing this well are raising the bar of expectations. Now, I can hear the skeptics saying like, hey, well, maybe we know if you got a shortage on staff and you got a shortage on finances, what are you doing raising the bar? The bar needs to be lower. You need to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. What does he mean by raising the bar of expectations?
Well, this is what's interesting is Rainer even concedes, like, you would think that the bar would be lowered in this time, but effective churches are raising the bar. So I think what's happening, Tim, is some churches are realizing we got a lot of people that are waffling, and we have a strategic moment where we're either going to just lower the bar to meet them in their waffling, or we're going to call people up to be the disciples that Jesus called us to be. And I think that this whole entire list of things that Rainer's listing, like digging into teaching the Word of God and being more outreach-oriented and restructuring staff and raising the expectations, like now's the time to really develop these true, authentic disciples. The wheat is being separated from the chaff.
Yeah.
And lowering the the bar for the sake of the chaff will dilute the vision of the church. We want the chaff to be able to see the real wheat.
Yeah.
We want the chaff to be drawn to the real vision that Christ has given us. And sadly, I think that we've lost sight of that through trying to create cultures of entertainment or trying to create cultures that are all built on, you know, the wrong type of things. And so when we lose sight of that, you know, this pandemic provides for us a window into seeing a future that can be much more attractive as a vision of what a true follower of Jesus Christ looks like.
Yeah, I think this also relates to the first one that we talked about last week on our episode. So if anyone wants to check that out, you can head on over to our channel, oneminuteapologist.com, and click on videos, and you'll find our channel there, and you can rewatch the video that we did last week where we addressed other ones of these. But this idea of raising the bar, when it comes back to that first one of preaching and teaching the word, I think pastors should be finding this this revitalization of preaching and teaching the word, and that means a raising of the bar. And so I think that's excellent. So let's jump to this next one, which I think is great. This next one is, they are being friends with their communities. Man, what an opportune time to be friends with your community. What should this look like?
I do think that this is an opportunity for us to connect with our neighbors, with people that we work with. You know, we were shut down for a long time. I know when we were living in California before we moved out here to start the church, and church was locked down. You know, I'm an introverted guy, and I found myself craving some community.
Yeah.
I found myself looking forward to having some relationship time. And so starting a church was phenomenal because, you know, once you get out of church and you start getting out of meeting with people, you realize in a time like a pandemic that if you're getting to a place where I don't care if I ever see people again, well, that might feel comfortable to you, that is a very unhealthy place to be. And there are times, Tim, in my own life where I felt like, you know, I could be fine, just give me my wife, give me my kids, I'll just do my own thing.
Yeah.
Because people hurt, right? I mean, there's problems with relationships and ministry disillusions us.
Yeah.
But I can say that that wasn't a healthy perspective. Mm. We are meant to be a part of not only church community, but non-believing community. And so we can be cultivating relationships with people, you know, inviting people into our home for dinner, inviting neighbors out. I mean, there's a website in my neighborhood where there's just different events that are offered. And I think a lot of neighbors are now doing that where they offer different events. If you're in a neighborhood and that's not going on, well, that's something. What if you were called to kind of be the community rally person, bringing people together, hanging out with people, having progressive dinners and doing different things where people can connect.
No, I think that's great. We do that as well. We have a Facebook page in our neighborhood where we get a chance to connect with folks and realize this week that one of our neighbors up the road loves Diet Coke. And we had several extra Diet Cokes in our fridge that we don't drink Diet Coke. And so we were like, hey, here's some Diet Coke. So just getting to know who they are is great. I do think this is also an opportunity, and I'd love for you to speak on this, for those churches to get to know their communities, get to know their neighbors with an effort to say, how can we meet a need that they might have? So how can churches be getting to know their neighbors and reaching into their community to be able to meet their needs better?
Well, that's going to depend upon the demographic that you're living in.
Yep.
Different demographics have different needs. So if you're in a very affluent area, it's not going to be a food drive, so to speak. It might just be putting on a parenting seminar, or putting on a mental health seminar for the community, inviting the community to come out, or putting on a marriage seminar. You know, so you're trying to think through, you know, what it is. I like how Rick Warren talks about Jesus always ministered to people's needs, hurts, and interests.
Yeah.
And I would add, and their beliefs. And so I think one thing we could identify is, what are our community's needs? What are our community's interests? What are our community's hurts? Where are they hurting? What are our community's beliefs? And so you can provide courses around, you know, those beliefs where you could help people to understand why Christianity is, you know, worth believing.
Yeah.
Or you could figure out you know, where the community is hurting right now. So when it comes to a storm that just passes through, like an Ida, there's an opportunity for the church to go minister and help out and serve in those needs. And so I always liked how Pastor Rick talked about needs, hurts, and interests. And I add beliefs, because I think that becomes then a good filter. When we're connecting with people, when we're building friendships with people, we think about our non-believing friends. Well, how do we start connecting? Well, ask, what are their needs? What are their hurts? What are their interests?
Right.
What are their beliefs? When we're aware of that, well, we start meeting their needs. We start ministering their hurts. We start taking interest in the things they're interested in. We start doing apologetics around their those beliefs that they're struggling with or that they believed, and we're trying to create doubt so that they'll see the truthfulness of Christianity.
Yeah, I really think this could be an example of being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, really getting to know their community, being able to meet some of those needs. So that's excellent. This next one is that they're creating mini prayer groups. So what might that look like if a church was going to go out and create mini prayer groups?
Yeah, and by mini, not M-A-N-Y, but M-I-N-I.
Right.
So mini prayer groups. They're gathering together in small clusters to pray. I think that a pandemic lets us see that, wow, we really do need to be praying. We need to be more prayerful. And people are seeing the need to come together and pray. I think that this can happen through small groups. That's a great way. Like, imagine if the small groups were creating mini prayer groups within it. And so you're just kind of saying, hey, we got 15 people in our group. Why don't we just create four mini prayer groups whereby we can reach out to each other and pray, or we can break up at the end of our small group time and we can get in these mini prayer groups, or we can meet for coffee and pray. I think that people are recognizing that we need God to show up and we need God to meet us in this time of crisis that we're in.
Yeah, we instituted at Image like a once a month prayer gathering and a prayer meeting where we're continuing to, you know, pray for one another, pray for certain needs in our country and our community. And so that's just excellent. It's one of those things that we need to continue to do in the church, is continue to pray for one another, pray for our country, pray for our leaders. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So this last one here, and we'll spend some time on this one because I think it's really important, that they are persistent. I want to read this first couple sentences here. It says, frustration and confusion are real to these church leaders, just like any other leaders during these trying times. But the leaders of these churches simply don't give up. And I think that's really important. So if we can spend the next few minutes and just encourage church leaders to be persistent, how would you communicate that need to them?
I love the quote by Charles Spurgeon, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark, right? We're going to get out of this thing slowly, and we just need to keep persevering. And there are a lot of pastors that are feeling hopeless. I mean, think about what it would experience, Tim. We're starting a church, Image Church, in the midst of a pandemic, which has its own unique set of challenges.
Yeah.
But for those that have been pastoring and they're in established churches, they've went from building something and seeing it cut in half,
right, yeah,
or losing a third of their people. And so that is incredibly demoralizing, right? I mean, so you have a lot of pastors, they've been spending so much time trying to build a church and they've lost maybe up to half their people. They've lost maybe up to half their budget.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ministries have died off. And so they're feeling discouraged. And I think what we have to do as pastors and as church leaders is we have to remember that God's not surprised.
Yeah.
That he ultimately said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So what does that mean? Well, the gates of COVID will not prevail against our churches. Mm-hmm. And we need to believe that, that God's not surprised. He's still going to build it. And what we have to do is figure out how to change our focus. Mm. And so, yeah, it's okay to have a season of grieving. Okay, we've lost a lot of people. We've lost some ministries, but we can also see that there's purging that's taking place. And we're going to see who the really committed believers are right now. And we need to be celebrating the faithfulness of those who are showing up in the midst of this while everybody's jumping ship. We've got some people that are doubling down.
Yeah.
And we need to go get in the trenches with them, and we need to encourage them, and we need to thank them, and we need to get excited. And we need to realize, too, the Bible says that suffering produces perseverance.
Yep.
Perseverance produces character. Character produces growth.
Yep.
So what do we do when we suffer? Well, we persevere.
Mm.
And then what happens when we persevere? Well, that produces growth.
Yeah.
And then what happens when growth happens? That gives us hope.
Right.
Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. I think I might've said growth a little bit ago, but it produces hope. So if we persevere, we can know that we're going to grow.
Yeah.
So don't quit before the miracle happens.
Yeah. Maybe I would love for you to encourage our listeners with someone in the scriptures that persevered, right? I'm thinking of Paul specifically, the person that wrote Romans 5 that you just quoted there. Describe for us kind of Paul's journey of perseverance, particularly we just finished Acts, so it's probably familiar to you. Just give us that journey that Paul went on.
Oh, here's a guy that was relentless in his pursuit of the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm shipwrecked, you know, stoned on one occasion, you know, whipped, left for dead, mocked, and knew what it was like to go without food. And he just kept going and he kept going. Well, what gave him that kind of tenacity to persevere? He never lost sight of the true goal, to get the gospel to the ends of the world, right?
Yeah.
And in the ends of the earth at that time, through Jewish eyes, was get the gospel to Rome.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. Paul was like getting that gospel. Rome was considered the ends of the earth to those who were Jewish people.
Right.
You know, and so Paul was, you know, astonishingly persistent. There are great stories of perseverance in the Bible where we don't give up. And it's important because that's the temptation. We get discouraged. We lose hope. God's not given up on us. We are fine-tuning things right now. The church is being purged. But I think what's happening to me, Tim, is I've told my wife in an ironic kind of way, I said, why people are jumping ship, I'm finding my hope deepen more in the gospel right now than ever. And it's interesting because I'm the guy who wrote Doubting Toward Faith,
right.
You know, chronicling my story of despair, of thinking I'm going to be an apostate.
Yeah.
And now we're in the middle of this crisis. God brought me through that doubt season of my life. And I'm truly, you know what's happening? When I look at the news and I look at where our culture's at, my hope in the gospel is growing because I truly do believe it is the antidote to our problems.
Right.
It's the antidote to the racism that we're experiencing. It's the antidote to all the division that we're having over vaccine. Amen. I mean, we got to be bigger than dividing a church over a mask or not a mask, right. Vaccine or not a vaccine. But we don't know how, you know, one of the problems that we have in the church, we don't have people skills.
Yeah.
We are dividing the church up in the name of poor people skills.
Right.
We don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
We blast each other on our Twitter feeds. We blast each other on our YouTube. We blast each other from the pulpit. And you know what? I don't want to preach to the choir. I want to reach those who aren't in the choir.
Mm.
And that doesn't come through being just harsh for the sake of being harsh.
Yeah.
We need some people skills in this time, Tim, and we need the people skill of providing hope and encouragement to people in this time.
Well, again, excellent words of encouragement for church leaders, for pastors who are in this place where they just don't want to persevere sometimes. And
yeah.
They really need to be persevering. And so, man, this list was excellent. We'll post the link to this article in the description of this video. So if you're checking us out on the radio, you can head on over to our YouTube channel and find this video and click on that link and read the article for yourself. Really, really, really great stuff. I will reiterate that this was a list in an article that we covered some of it last week, so if you want to check out that episode, you can do that over at our YouTube channel, and then we covered the rest of them this week. Bobby, final parting words of encouragement for pastors that are just scratching their head saying, man, what are we going to do next?
I just want to encourage pastors out there. Number one, just grab your staff team together and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, what does the church need to look like in a post-COVID world? Where did we get out of alignment? What can we learn from this time? And encourage your staff team. And then maybe just share those lessons with the flock at large. You know, the staff and I, we had a talk, and here's some things that we learned about maybe where we were out of alignment. Here's some things where we feel like we need to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
And this is some vision. I think they'll appreciate the thoughtfulness, the humility, and the authenticity. And then for those of you that aren't pastors or in ministry leadership, don't underestimate how exhausting and taxing being a pastor or church leader is.
Yeah.
They are so familiar with critics. And I would say, you know, send a note of encouragement, get a gift certificate for, you know, your pastor. Do something that would just say, we appreciate you. I think that would mean a lot to your pastors and to your church leaders as well.
Amen to that. Well, Bobby, thank you so much for your insight and for your encouragement. Thank you for checking out this episode of The Unapologetic Show. We will meet you next time.
You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the One-Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the One-Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at oneminuteapologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.